What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Man, happy 2026, Ben.
We made it.
This is our first day back in the office after what I think was like a 17-day break or something.
It was something fiercely long.
It was the longest like work break we've ever taken.
I believe so. The timing this year of where like Christmas Day,
and New Year's.
Landed because there was like that weird situation where Christmas is on like a Thursday, but Christmas Eve also feels like a holiday.
Right.
So our last day in office was like
a Tuesday
the 23rd.
Right.
And then a week after Christmas meant that like New Year's Day was on a Thursday, which meant we're not going to come back
on a Friday.
So then we have to make it all the way till the following Monday. So whatever December 22nd through January 5th is
however many days.
And boy howdy was it rejuvenating.
I would agree, it was rejuvenating. You know, it was a real it was a staycation for both of us.
It was, yeah. And I had to fight every urge. Like I, for months leading up to the knowledge that we had this like time off, was like I would like pull up Airbnb or VRBO or whatever,
and I'd be like, I'm gonna take a trip during that time.
Exactly. You know, I kept being like, Alice, what if we go to like the Smoky Mountains? You know, like we could just go like be touristy and like have fun. Like, you know, Addie can do all the things and, you know, it'll be joyous, whatever. Or we could go rent a cabin somewhere, or we could just go get away, or I don't know. You know, like I had like all these ideas.
Yeah.
And I kept having to be like, Ben, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Because I do this all the time. Like break time comes around and I find a way to allocate my energy so that instead of being a break, I just go and like work my butt off, even if working my butt off is doing something fun.
Right.
So instead I stayed home and worked my butt off.
Well, that was what I was like. I was like, I'm so looking forward to this break because we're just going to have like couple chill weeks at the house. It's gonna be great. I know what's gonna happen is that we're gonna start cleaning.
That's exactly it.
It's just like especially because in the aftermath of Christmas is often quite a mess.
Oh my
god. Is like there's like an explode, not just like the wrapping paper and all that. That's easy enough to get rid of. But then there's like, you know, there's the initial Christmas with like, you know, just me and Beth and Luke and Nick and Nate. And that's like, you know, we get all the new stuff and everyone's having fun and they're opening new toys and they're making a mess with that. And that's, you know, it's all great. It's all standard Christmas fare.
We love that.
Then you go to Nana and Papa's and you come home with a whole new set of things for them to do that over with. And then the next day you go to Nana and Granddad's and, you know, Uncle Daniel and Aunt Megan are in town and they got a whole new mess of stuff for the kids and they go rinse and repeat again. And then the next day, it's time for Aunt Joan and Uncle Paul to come over. And, you know, now, you know, four times later, you know, not only that, but even before Christmas even began, the house was just in its usual state of, we have three boys living here.
Oh yeah, right. Like they're whirlwinds in their own right. You know,
right.
They're just going around.
They're just doing
stuff.
It. Yeah. You can try and tidy it up. But like the thing is, like the great thing about having a clean space at all is that you can do stuff in that clean space. And the kids are able to recognize that immediately, even if they can't recognize why. It's like, oh, it's they're not like, oh, it's clean, let's make a mess. They're like, oh, it's clean, let's do something. But they don't recognize after the fact that they were able to do something because it was clean.
I know.
You know what I mean?
You're right. Like it's a very fine line where it's like and I mean, I don't even think it's just true for kids. I think this is true for everybody.
Yeah.
It's like you have a clean space, you want to do something. Like it's inspiring.
Yes.
So like I think on some level, cleanliness probably leads to productivity.
Yeah.
But the problem is that productivity is mess inducing, which means that you kind of like have to rinse and repeat the process just over and over again in order to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it ended up also being like sort of a semi-purge week, I suppose. You know what I mean?
Dude, I would call that the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to be fair, we're currently, as of recording, only five days in. But like, okay, so I like, in addition to having time home and like all the holidays and the associated cleaning and entertaining and all the various things that you're doing that lead to cleaning up, Alice and I have also had in the pipeline for months our next wave of renovations. And so like back in 2021, we went through and we did like the kitchen and like our bathroom, and we added a fence and like an outdoor pergola. And,
right.
You know, like we did a whole bunch of stuff. And then it was kind of like, we had to go like in kind of like chill out mode for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And then as we've like over the past year, I think even like sometime right around like a year ago, Mark, Alice and I had found this like 50 plus acre property that we were like, are we moving? Are we going to go live right on like 50 acres? And so that sent us down like this whole like house hunt. Do we move? But like, we were like, we're so attached to our house that was like, can we leave? Because like, we like, there's so much here. We've made it our own and like blah, blah, blah. And housing prices have gotten insanely expensive, and the market is weird because of interest rates and all sorts of stuff. So basically this big long conclusion was right. Like, okay, instead of going and buying a new house, we could actually spend less money than what a new house would cost us, but improve further the house that we already love.
Right.
So that ended up being the choice. So that starts tomorrow. And in order to do that, like, our attic is like the big area that's being like completely overhauled.
Yeah.
It will become like a room.
Right.
But up until this weekend, it was the like
the storage room.
It was the room of requirement.
Right. Yeah.
Like it was like, I think you could almost go in and just sit up there and watch. And every once in a while, a rocking chair would just like fall from the ether into the heap.
Right.
And I say heap because there was no storage. There were no walkways. We did not put things away carefully in Tupperware containers that were like neatly labeled. Everything.
It was like, I gotta, this can't be where it is now. So I'm just going to take it to the attic.
I took before and after pictures. I'll have to like include them on screen or something.
Yeah.
So like, if you're watching, you can like see what it looked like before and after, but like, it is comically embarrassing how like, it wasn't like gross or anything like that. Like, it wasn't like dirty. It was just too much stuff.
Right.
But it made sense because we don't have a lot of storage in our house. It's an old house and it's not that big anyway. And like, everywhere that we are, we use for living space. And so everything that we didn't need, namely all of Addie's baby things.
Dude, baby things take up so much space.
They do.
It's so much.
I ordered one of those pods, you know, like the ones that can like come and like bring to your house or whatever. And
Like a storage pod.
Yeah. And if you've never seen the way that they deliver these things, I encourage you to just go online and find like a YouTube video that just like shows what it looks like, because the entire process of them delivering the pod was just fascinating. It was just cool.
Yeah.
Like the this is the kind of thing that like I have like a weird fixation on, like my like convenience stores.
Yeah.
Is specialty industrial equipment.
Right.
You know, it's like, it does like one thing, but it does it in a way that's sort of like someone just thought that up and then made it out of steel and it works.
And now here it is. Right. That's why how It's Made was always so interesting. It's like, that's what the whole show is basically.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. I used to fall asleep to How It's Made every night in college. That was like my favorite. But I bring all of it up because I got the pod delivered to my driveway and I was like, okay, I got to take a whole bunch of stuff from the attic, the things that we aren't throwing away, selling or donating or whatever, or consigning or something. And I went through and I'm starting to put all the stuff in the pod. All of it. It takes up like half the pod is just Addison's
stuff.
Old stuff.
Right.
And so like, part of me is almost like reassured because I'm like, okay, look, here's the thing. Yes, this attic was gross. Like, there was too much going on. But if it weren't for having a child, I wouldn't have at least half of the things.
Most of these things. Yeah.
Right. So, so getting all that out of there. But I mean, I took like 3 truckloads of stuff. That's like my interior cab, the front seat, and my truck bed, which has like a camper shell, so like I can get stuff like all the way to the roof to Goodwill. I took a load of stuff to like our downtown dumpster. I took a load of stuff to Alice's dumpster where like Nude is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we threw so much stuff away. We donated so much stuff. Like,
right.
I mean, like, the amount of things that exited my house was on a different level entirely.
Yeah.
So it was freeing, it was liberating, it was humbling, and it's going to be glorious.
Yes, when it's all done and the renovations are complete.
Yes.
It is nice. I know the first room we had to tackle was my son Luke's room, and like, Luke is like a creative genius, which is to say, a total mess. There's what I mean?
Do you know the line from Spider-Man, the first ever Spider-Man movie? Well, not the first. I don't know if it was the first ever. The Sam Raimi one with, Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
There's a scene where Norman
Osborn.
Norman Osborn, I'm sorry, walks into Peter's apartment and is like a bit of a slob, isn't he? And Aunt May is like, all brilliant men are.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, I want it to be true so bad.
Right.
But in the case of Luke, I do think there's a creative genius just purely living inside of that kid.
I mean, he will have an idea and he will, it will become life in front of him, and he doesn't care what kind of mess he leaves behind, nor is he willing to pick it up.
Okay.
By any means, but like we went through, and I think we just had, and it's like, you do feel it's like humbling or, a relief or maybe like embarrassing sometimes or whatever, but like you're like, they're like two bags of just garbage that are just like from his room, and it's like, whether that's just like balled up bits of paper or like broken crayons or broken toys or who knows what. We're just like, how is there this? How are you living in this?
Right.
Like, how are we letting this happen? I don't know. But it's all gone now. His room looks amazing. We turned it into like a little oasis. We installed new shelves in there.
Ayo.
Yeah. Yes. Which was like a whole project, which it should not have been.
What made it such a project?
I think, so I had like the L bracket shelves, you just put them on there, rest the shelf on, screw the thing to the shelf.
Certainly.
No big deal, or so you'd think.
So you'd think.
It should be so easy because it's got the hole. You can just hold it up to the wall, draw little dots where you're going to drill the holes, and then drill the holes.
Right.
And then they're already perfect because you held it up.
Right.
Right. And it should be that easy. I drilled my holes. I put my little anchors in the wall. I held it up. I put the screws in. And as soon as I started drilling the screws into the anchors went through the wall into the wall. And now I've got a screw stuck to an anchor in the wall. And I'm like, how did this happen? The bit to put the anchor in the wall came in the box that the anchors are in.
It
should be the perfect size. Doesn't make any sense. And now I'm like, not only that, it's like, okay. The other problem is now I drilled three holes in the wall, right? So it's like, I either got to go get bigger anchors or like go cover them up. So I'm like, okay, this isn't a problem. The thing is, we caught it early. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the hardware store. I'm going to buy bigger anchors that just fit into the holes I already drilled.
No problem.
I got number 8. Like that is, I looked it up. The bit is like 1/4-inch bit. And I had number 8. Number 10 is the anchor size that I apparently need that goes with 1/4-inch or whatever.
Okay.
Sure. And I'm like double checking. I'm like, this isn't some weird thing where it's like number 1's actually the biggest and it gets smaller.
Oh, yeah. Good save. Good way to think about that.
Number 10. I go to the store. I find the number 10. They even came with white screws, which was great. White flathead screws. So it would just so seamlessly into the wall.
I love it.
Right? I get home. They're the exact same size as the number 8s. I don't understand why at all.
Dude.
Doesn't make any sense to me. This one says 8. This one says 10. It's the same size.
You're right. I mean, anchors are like one of these things where I am halfway convinced that there are entire sections in the hardware aisle at like the big box stores, Lowe's, Home Depot, whatever, that sell anchors that simply do not work. It's literally like there's an entire industry that just relies on the fact that people will show up, they'll buy them, they won't work, they'll come back, they'll buy something different. And somehow, like, it's like you don't have a tight enough relationship, unless you're me, with your anchors that you're buying like a specific brand. And many of them, and this is probably not true. And any like handy people out there are like, you guys are just dumb.
it was all in one box, Ben.
I understand. Because my whole thing is that once upon a time when we were living together at the house that we started Supercar Mothers in, I went on Craigslist and I bought a old hot tub.
Yeah.
You remember?
I remember. It almost crushed our friend Trey.
It did. Yeah. It was like pouring rain. It was like, we were trying to like dump it into the backyard and it like fell over on him and he just left without saying anything. I think he was like bleeding from the face.
It wasn't great.
Yeah. But at least we're still friends with him. So
we are still friends. And me and you simple machined it the rest of the way into position.
We did. But I had had an electrician friend who I was doing some aquarium work for and we were like trading services. So he came over and helped me do the electrical installation to get it like hooked up to our box.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he did when he came out was he like mounted this big heavy gauge wire to the concrete wall using this specific pack of anchors. And I was like, well, I don't understand. Those anchors seem like they worked perfectly. Like, what's the deal here? And he was just like, I don't know. I really like these. And so I have bought only those anchors.
Only those.
And I bet you anything, I've gone through like 10 boxes of them. Like, this is something where, like, if you come to like the Super Carlin Brothers office, every single thing that is mounted to our walls is using these anchors.
Using them.
Regardless. I use the same anchors for everything. If you go into Addison's bedroom and like look at like the small shelf that I installed like underneath her light switch to put like stuffed animals.
Yeah.
Held on by the same anchors.
Held on by the same anchors.
So I will link them in the description.
Please do.
Not sponsored. No, like anything. Just, I think the world would benefit from everybody using these anchors.
Just so they can hang up their stuff without problems like this.
Exactly. And the supplied bit works.
Yeah. So that was problem number one, is that eventually I went home and had to change my drill bit and use like, just make us, I had to make three new holes. So now there's just three holes in the wall, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
But I ended up using the new anchors with a smaller bit and it worked fine. That was great.
Okay, good.
Then I go to get the shelves and they're like nice, like good thick white shelves. And I'm going to rest on top and you got to like drill like tiny little holes into them to like attach them to the bracket now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. But they've got some sort of like poly covering on it. Like a plastic laminate. They have like a laminate cover on them. Okay. And it's such tiny screws and it's at such a bad angle that there's no breaking through the laminate. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
In its current position. So now I have the new task of setting it on there, drawing my little marks, which also the pencil doesn't like the laminate at all. It doesn't like even touching it.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. And then what I have to do is go through. I can't even like press down on the ground with the screw and make it go in. You know, I have to take nails first, tap tiny holes into the board with a nail, then come back, put the screw in each of the six spots, take it out, then put it back on the shelf, and then finally screw it in.
This sounds like a nightmare.
It was so much extra effort to hang two shelves.
Do they look great though?
They do look great, and fortunately now Luke has a nice place to display all of his like Lego toys, completed Lego sets, and whatever else he wants to up there. And yay, they do look great. He's so excited with them, and his room is clean, and it is like an oasis in there. We set up the diffuser in his room.
Whoa.
So it smells nice. He's got his like star projector on the ceiling.
Adorable.
At night, and there's nothing on the floor.
For now,
I know. I give it like a week, maybe. But right now, he is also in the like, I love how clean it is in here zone. So that's good.
That is good. Yeah, way to go. Making some serious headway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Well, I mean, but this is exactly how time off goes, though. It's
yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, and that's really how I felt, too, because like, you know, it was just day after day. And I got to the end of like the holiday, you know, like so Christmas is over and there's still, you know, what feels like forever left on this break. And I'm like, okay, I got nothing but time. And then like the week's over and I'm like, where'd the time go?
Where'd the time go?
I spend every day doing things.
I know. It's the exact same thing. For I hung so many things on walls. I felt like, like going down the stairs to my basement, which was like, it was like a breath of fresh air after hanging the shelves. It was just like, hold it up. Kind of right there. Done. You know, boom, it works. Three nails, three things up. Amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, that was great. But Ben, before we even get to the holidays, I have a story, if you will.
Okay.
Okay. And it's gonna seem like a little random. But so this was going into Christmas. Beth had learned of the Dude Perfect board game, either from our own kids or she saw it on one of the videos or something. But my kids are super into Dude Perfect right now.
Yeah, I can understand why.
Yeah.
Those guys are pretty fun.
They are very fun. And it's like, I get it. Me and Beth have just sat down to watch the videos before. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yes.
They are a blast. I love watching the trick shots. I love their adventures and their battles and all that stuff. Like, they are, you know, good fun times. We have tickets to go see the live show in like March or something.
Awesome.
So that's going to be a blast. But she like finds out there's a Dude Perfect board game. And I'm like, okay. Like, part of me is like, yeah, I'll go get it for the kids. That'll be great. Good Christmas gift.
Sure.
Grab here. Apparently, it's just been restocked at Walmart. She like sent me where in the store, because it's not with the other board games. It's near the front by the registers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where you got to go get it. And I'm like, all right, I guess, like, you know, do Perfect board game, is that going to be that much fun? I don't know. you know.
I mean, it feels like the kind of thing that wouldn't be that hard for them to just take like Monopoly and throw Dude Perfect on the cover. And it's sort of like, yeah, instead of building houses, you're building like stadiums or something.
Right, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But no, from what I understand, the Dude Perfect board game is actually like a game.
It's very Dude Perfect-y for okay. sure. It's very on brand. It's very a unique game unto itself, which is great. It ended up, I'll talk more about it later, but that brought me to Walmart, like 2 days before Christmas.
Okay.
Right. Left work, went straight there, found the game, was super excited about it. And, I called Beth and I'm like, they've also got some like Dude Perfect sunglasses here. Should we get those as like stocking stuffers? She's like, oh yes. Also, I have nothing for dinner yet. Do you want to like pick something up? And I'm like, and I am struck with the best idea. Okay. Do you remember when we were kids, we would go to the Rocky Mountain Walmart?
Yeah.
And
I know you're going
in the
this.
Back left corner of the store, Ben, you could go grab a bag of Walmart chicken.
Oh,
yeah.
The Walmart chicken.
The Walmart chicken.
Dude, if we were raised.
I know.
On Walmart
raised chicken. On the Walmart chicken.
Yes. And I mean, it was good.
It like, was good.
Yeah. Like, yes. I mean, in a way that was sort of like disproportionate to the Walmartedness of it all.
Exactly. I mean, yes. You're like, you wouldn't think of like Walmart as like, you know, they've got like, you know, a hot to go counter. And I want to say the bag was like $5 or something.
HOTTOGO.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. I had to do it.
Yeah,
hot, I know. Hot to go.
I know. You actually had to do it. So we would go up and we would grab these. Like, I remember like mom would like send you back to go get a bag of Walmart chicken or whatever.
Yes.
And you go back and get that. You get the potato wedges.
Oh, the potato wedges
and the Walmart chicken. And it was like.
Are they back?
Oh, but I don't think they ever went away.
They never left.
They never left. You know, I think the Walmart in Roanoke for the longest time did not. It wasn't a super center, so it didn't have produce or groceries or anything.
Right.
This is true. Yeah, I didn't have like the hot to go counter or whatever. But the Walmart does now have that. And I was like, I know what I'm going to get. What if I just get some like Walmart chicken? And she's like, okay, sure, whatever. And I'm like, this is going to be such a win. I'm so excited.
It's like she has no idea.
Like, you don't even know. I've told her about it before, but I don't think she really understood.
Right. This is like the speakeasy in downtown where like the entrance is like a vending machine.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, you have to like press like the specific button and it opens the door and then you gain access. Otherwise it just like feeds you a drink. Yeah. But this is like, I know about Walmart chicken.
I know the truth about the Walmart chicken, and I'm here to tell you guys at home, if you've never had it, I'm not joking, go check it out. It's very good.
People are going to be like, I don't know if this episode is sponsored by Drywall Anchors, Dude Perfect Board Game, or Walmart Chicken right now. But I'm kind of wanting all three.
The point is, it is such a thing from our childhood that like when I remembered, I'm like, we had it so much.
We did. I mean, I'm like, and I bet if mom is listening, she's like, we did it like once like a month.
Nope.
And like,
false mother.
Yeah.
Nope. We know. Okay. And I go over to the counter and I'm like, do they have the chicken tenders? Is it going to be cleaned out? Cause it's like lots of people are eating out at this time of year. It's a busy store. It's 2 days before Christmas at Walmart, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's like ground zero. Basically. I
know. Yeah. I'm already in the middle of it all. You know, it's 5 o'clock. We got one more shopping day, people. And I walk up and I can see the counter. There is nobody there. I can see the tenders. I'm like, all right, cool. I just got to make my way around the onion stand here and I'll be first. And crap, someone got one line in front of me. I don't know where this guy came from.
Probably watermelons.
Probably. Yeah. He was over there looking at prepackaged cheese.
No.
Managed to sidle on over in front of me. If I was here one step faster, I would have been to the counter. Anyway, the guy in front, I'm like, it's okay. Cause now I can like really examine the menu.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because unlike when we were kids, when you would just walk up and grab a bag of Walmart chicken, now you got to like talk to a person and interact and like place an order.
No.
I know. I'm like, just put it out. You know what we want.
Right, right.
Come on, yeah. Walmart.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Not that hard. But boy, if I thought it wasn't that hard, the guy in front of me certainly did. You know, He's like staring at there. He's like taking his time, picking out what his dinner is going to be. And he at first is like, can I get just like three of the chicken tenders? And I'm like, when he said chicken tenders, at first I was like, he's going to get all of them, isn't he? I'm going to have missed this dinner by one step.
Because of prepackaged cheese guy.
Because of prepackaged cheese guy is in front of me. No, he orders three. And then she starts going through them. And he's like, honestly, I think I could do with two. And she starts to put two in it. And then he starts talking her down to one. He's like, I think if you get a big one, I could just do with one. And I'm like, you're going to have, your whole dinner is going to be one chicken tender, dude. That's not enough.
You're holding me up for that.
You're holding me up for one chicken tender. In the meantime, I'm behind him. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be like this guy. I'm going to stand up clearly. I'm going to understand the menu. I'm going to look at what comes with the meal, side item, look to where I'm going to know it all.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to have it.
Let me offer just a very brief aside, which is that if you're in the car with me and I'm driving through a drive-through, I want you to have your order ready.
Exactly.
And like, we almost need like military grade efficiency here, where it's going to be like, hi, I want a number three with no onions. Thank you, Alice. What do you want? Okay. We want a number two, extra pickles and Addy. And we want a Happy Meal three piece. Thank you.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, we need to be able to like snap through this. But if I order something and then I have to pause and it's like, I'll have the number three with no onions. Yeah.
Hold on.
And then it's like, hang on a second.
What do you guys want? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to say that.
All right. We'll take a number two just as it comes.
Just as it comes.
Sorry, I feel like I awkward silence for too long.
No, it's okay. I understood what was happening.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
It's like Beth's like, I want the cinnamon crunch mocha decaf one pump three laughs salted caramel
macchiato.
And I'm like, I'm not saying that, you know. Like, I've already forgot half the words. Why don't you just say it?
Right.
You yell across me.
What do the people hear in their headphones? Because I want to know like how often the person taking your order can hear the frustrated exchange of the like, come on. No, they don't have that.
Yeah.
What do you want? What size?
Yeah, I know.
Do you want a Coke? Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, it's me again.
I know. Like, how much did they hear? Would love to hear from the drive-through people.
I know. Yeah, they're like, all of it. Literally all of it.
It's most of my day.
I've heard marriages end.
End in the drive-through line. Exactly. So anyway, see my problem.
I do.
I'm standing in line. The guy in front of me is taking forever, despite being one step in front of me. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be like, because now, even though I was one step away, there is a line forming behind me.
Okay.
Apparently, something happened in the ether and everyone was heading to the hot to go counter now.
Oh, but you know what? Sometimes it's kind of nice when the line forms behind you.
Exactly.
There's nothing I hate worse than getting in the end of a really long line and then nobody gets behind me. And I'm like, I was the last one.
Like, I was literally last to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So now there's a line forming behind me. I'm like, I'm going to be fast. I'm going to be the opposite of this guy. And I'm looking up. I'm like, all right, what? I know I'm really just getting this for the kids, but I assume they won't eat it all. So what I want is, I would need something for a family. There's a whole list of family menu items.
Okay.
It says 12-piece chicken tender. I'm like, that's exactly what I want. 12-piece chicken tender. It says comes with side. I'm like, please let one of the sides be potato wedges. Oh, potato wedges. Boom.
Ba-boom.
I look down. I check. We got way more than 12 chicken tenders, even minus this guy's one.
One.
Yeah. And we got a whole tray of potato wedges. We are set. Okay. So this guy finally gets his food, if you can call it that. And I step forward and I go, I look the lady in the eye. I'm like, I want the 12-piece chicken tender family meal with potato wedges on the side. And she looks at me like I've held a gun to her. She's like, whoa, we don't do 12-piece chicken tenders. And I'm like, of course I'm second guessing myself immediately.
Right.
I'm like, I'm staring at the board. It says 12-piece chicken tender meal. And I'm like, before I can like parse out what part of it I have misunderstood, she has now started talking to the person behind me in line, who it turns out also works at the counter and is now off her shift behind in line order food.
Oh,
and she's like, do we do 12-piece chicken tenders? And I'm like, she's like, I don't know. I think we used to do it. And I'm like, I look at her and I'm like, it's on the board. And she's like, yeah, that board is old. That board is old. They need to change it. We haven't done that as long as I've been working here. I've never done 12 piece chicken tender. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say. Can you do it though?
Right. Yeah. It's like, right. Okay, here's, let me back up a second. The guy in front of me, he bought one. How much did you charge right. him for one? $1.19?
Right.
I will pay you $13.60
yeah.
for 12.
Right.
You know,
the conversation continues. She goes, I don't know. When I was here, we used to do 10. And I'm like, oh wait, so you don't even work here anymore. She just remembers you from when you worked here. Right. They're having a conversation about old times now at the hot to go counter.
Remember Lenny?
Exactly. Exactly. But now what happens is there's a, I guess she's at the counter, but her manager, who I guess can manage like the deli and the hot to go counter or whatever, is way down in the corner near all like the breads.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
And she's yelling down to her, like, do we do 12 piece chicken tender meals? And I'm like, this could not be that hard to figure. She's like, I don't think we do 12. Like, the whole store knows what I'm having for dinner now. And I'm just like, this is like, how is this happening?
Right.
What is going on? This can't be that hard. She looks back and she's like, we can do 8-piece and we can do, like, I usually do 8-piece or 16-piece. I never put 12 in a tray. And I'm like, hold on, did you say 16? Because, like, I can understand if you normally only go up to like 8 or something, but somehow 12, is this like the holy hand grenade of chicken tender orders here? Like, thou shalt go to 12 lest thou continue to 16?
Right.
Because if you've done 16, you've done 12. You know what I mean?
I'll take a 16 piece, hold four of them.
You know? I'm just like, what is happening? Can I get 12? And she's like, I think we can do it. I'm like, glad we figured that out.
We sorted through it.
We figured it out. She's like, no one's ever asked me for 12 before. And I'm like, it's on the board.
A wise man fears three things, Jay.
A wise man fears three
things. One of them is a 12 count chicken tender.
She was, floored by this order. And then finally she manages to get 12 pieces in a tray, rings it up.
Yeah.
Everything. And then I'm like, and also can I get a side of the potato wedges?
Are you serious?
I know.
You went back for more.
Ben, the children deserve the potato wedges.
I mean, they do. They do. But at this point in time, I'm going to KFC and just going through the drive-thru and being like, I would be like, I will take my 12 from here. I'm going somewhere else to get the rest.
Right. Yeah. He's like, do you want normal or small? And I was like, this feels like a trap. I don't know how much is in a small. She like holds up a bag. And is like probably about up to there. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do a small. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
And then to her credit, I don't think she charged me for the potato wedges, which I think she understood that, like, this was an ordeal.
Right. Yes.
In the end.
Right. So, well, for everybody. Good.
I know. I was like, what commotion have I caused here at the hot-to-go counter at Walmart?
H-O-T-T-O-G-O.
I know. This is... Anyway, I got my chicken tenders and my potato wedges. I got in the car with my Dude Perfect board game and I went home, and it turns out everybody loved them. So they have not lost their gusto.
Oh, this is so good.
I know. So despite the ordeal of ordering them, they were worth it.
Well, you got me hankering for a 16 piece now.
Make sure you get the 16.
I will.
Dare you order a 12.
I would hate to, trouble anybody's day.
What is baffling to me is that it says it right there on the board and nobody has ordered it since the person behind me in line has worked there.
Right. Which we don't know how long that was.
We don't know how long ago that was.
Yeah.
They haven't changed the board though since then, nor have they apparently needed to, because this is not a frequented item.
What's even more baffling about it is that like a dozen is such like an obvious number to use.
I know.
You know, like it's like, of course we do a dozen.
Yeah.
Like there's the whole, like, you know, you buy a dozen bagels.
Yeah, you buy a dozen bagels.
Right.
Baker's dozen even.
Exactly.
Maybe you go to 13.
You could, you know what? In fact, you could have been like, I will take my baker's dozen. I'll give my one extra to this gentle lad in front of me.
Yeah. I think he only wants one.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just take the rest. We'll split. We'll figure it out. I'll cover it. It's a free tender.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Tis the season.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. So there you go. That was my experience ordering from the counter. This is why It was better when they just put it in the bags.
Yeah. The bags, you know, were kind of great too. The bags, like, were great. You know, there's something about that where it's like, you just don't understand how good something is until after the fact. And it's I hate that.
I know. Part of me is like, desperately, I don't have any justification for it, but really wants to drive to the Rocky Mount Walmart to see if their counter is also an order system.
Yeah.
Or if they still do the bags.
Ooh.
Because it would seem crazy to me if they hadn't changed anything about it since we lived there.
You know what's weird is that I remember we went to that Walmart the day that it opened.
We did.
And the thing that I remember the most about that Walmart was how freshly paved it was the day that we got there. And I can still smell the asphalt.
The asphalt.
And so in my head, the Rocky Mount, Virginia Walmart has a beautifully resurfaced parking lot at all times.
Yeah.
With like bright, vibrant yellow parking lot lines.
Yeah.
And like everything is just so.
Yeah. That's, I agree. It probably is.
Yeah. Probably
is. Probably keep the upkeep on. It's probably really good.
Extraordinary, even.
Now that we're thinking about it, now that I'm like thinking about that parking lot specifically, it is occurring to me that in my dreams, anytime I'm in a parking lot, it is that parking lot.
No way.
Yes. It is like, I'm like, whoa, it's blowing my mind right now. I can very visually see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember the very first time that we went to Walmart, I bought one of those. It was like one of those like toys where you would like pull a string and the little character on top had these like arms that were like wings and it would shoot up into the air and it would spin and then it would like slowly like drift back down.
I remember this toy exactly.
It was so fun.
It was fun.
What a great toy.
It was a good one. Yeah.
They
were like dragon. I think they're called like dragonflies or something.
Yeah.
Okay. That might have been it.
Dragonflies.
Yeah. But they were like dragon warriors. Dudes who flew,
right? But like their wings looked like dragonfly wings, like
right?
Off of like a, like, you know, the critter,
right? Off the critter,
right? Not a mayfly, not to be confused.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Anyway.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, today's message goes out to a very specific corner of the Little Kernel community. Those of you who carry that secret in your heart. The secret says, I can do this. I can open my own business. Yeah, I know you're out there, Janet. Probably. It would be so cool if somebody named Janet is like, is he talking directly to me right now? And I am Janet. I am. But starting your own business isn't all about becoming a mogul, launching an IPO, or doing other fancy business-sounding things. It's not a secret you're carrying in your heart, Janet. It's a passion for a thing you want to do. And Shopify is there to help you on your path to greatness. And the best part is, as you grow, Shopify grows with you. Handle more orders, expand to new markets, and do it all from the same dashboard. So Janet, or whoever you are, probably Bill or Rob, maybe Kylie even, in 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. And sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Go to shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
So fast forward to Christmas Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. And the Dude Perfect board game, let me tell you, was the hit of all hits.
Was it?
It was. It was a slam dunk gift for the kids. Since then, I've probably played it 40 times.
How good are you at it?
I mean, it is a sabotage-based game.
Oh, how's that going with the boys?
Well, let me tell you, there is an adjustment period wherein if you're just a child who hasn't played sabotage-based games in the past, you don't like it when people sabotage you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, it turns out. However, we've had many a talk. We've had several talks anyway. Just like, okay, guys, before we begin the game, you need to know that, like, stealing is going to happen in this game. The wheel of consequences, wheel unfortunate, you're going to spin it, bad things might happen to you. That's just part of it. We have to know that going in. You are going to do it to other people are going to do it to you. Like, if we can't get over that, we can't play.
Right.
You
know? So it's kind of a metaphor for life.
Exactly. So in that way, it's like, good. That doesn't mean there weren't any tears when it happened, but at this point, 40 games in, we're all pretty used to it. You know, it's just sort of fun. But yeah, there are some like Mario Party mechanics involved.
Uh-oh, wherein, some star stealing.
Oh yeah. So the way you win is to collect 4 golden boys.
Nice.
You know, which if you've watched the show, you know that, you know, Ned Forrester, the golden boy, is the host of Wheel and Fortunate.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to collect 4 little golden boy statues. That's how you win. But there's like steal a golden boy cards, and you have to spin the wheel on several occasions for, you know, landing on it, or someone can make you do it with one of their cards or whatever, and that might make you lose a golden boy. It might force you to give one away. You might, you know, there's stealing cards from people's hands, lots of stuff like that.
Sure,
happening
sure.
All the time. And it's a game where you can frequently have the win in your hand only for your turn to upend you horribly. Or it's very clear, like, if you have 3 golden boys and everyone else doesn't, like, guess who all the punishment's coming to?
You.
It's like, yeah, it's all coming to you. And it's pretty effective, usually.
This is where I was playing with Mario Party. It was like, it was a unique game for me to play because I was always so bad at the actual gameplay. And then you get to the end, it would be like, most unfortunate player, this one!
Right.
And it would give you, like, a whole bunch of, like, extra stars. And you're like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
Pays to be the worst.
Pays. There it goes. Yeah. So there are some of that, but we've played it a lot. I wouldn't even say there are some like little skill based parts of it where there's like you have one of those like flick launcher ball things.
Okay.
You
know, yeah.
Makes sense. Where you can either use it to like kick field goals or shoot baskets or like play golf on like to a little green mat that sits in the middle of the board.
That's cool.
Yeah. It is very cool. It works out pretty good. And like, it almost becomes like a bit of like a jerk move the further you get into it. Cause like kicking the field goal is almost automatic. You almost can't miss.
Okay.
It's like, and you can like, sometimes it'll be like, choose a game. And it'll be like, you can either do football, basketball, or golf or whatever. And if you choose football, it's like, it's not like you each get a shot. The rules say whoever makes it first wins.
Oh.
And if you're the one who's issuing the challenge, you always go first.
So yeah.
So it's just sort of like, yeah, I'm doing football against Luke. Give me one of your cards, you know.
Got it.
Yeah. Now, sometimes you'll land on this has to be a golf battle, this has to be a basketball battle, and then it's a little more fair or whatever.
Sure.
But like, you can vary, or like the kids sometimes they'll just like want to do one of the other games. But even they know that like the football is automatic, and if they just want to win, they'll just do it. And they'll just like steal a card from you.
So to what extent, like when you're playing this, because I imagine the first couple of games, it was probably like more like, okay, let's just all learn and like, you know, mm-hmm. we're having fun here. And I'm not like putting on my strategery cap.
Right.
How many rounds into it were you like, all right, we're playing now?
Oh, at least until they all felt comfortable with dealing with all the consequences.
Okay.
You know, because there were definitely many games I've played with them where it was just sort of like, I'm not like, I could steal this from you right now, but like, or I could really enforce a rule right here, but just like, whatever, just get through it. What's more important is that we finish the game,
right?
Kind of thing. Like, I don't, you know, should I be allowed to steal your last card right now? Yes, but I'm not going to, kind of thing. Right.
Right. Yeah. Like,
let's just keep the peace a little. At this point, they're all comfortable with all of the rules and they've played so much and they've all won so much and lost so much that it doesn't matter anymore.
Okay. So
at this point, I don't really hold back anymore.
Okay.
Not that it helps, because there is a very luck-based game for sure.
I mean, honestly, for something like that, that's probably best case scenario, because then it's like, then it just allows everyone to get their chance.
Yes it does. So that's very fun. We've watched a lot of Dude Perfect, but man, I cannot tell you, I would not have thought, like, I thought this would just be like a gift we got that maybe we played it a few times, but no, it is hands down been the Christmas gift of the year at our house.
Whoa.
Is the Dude Perfect board game.
I mean, I think that there's always, I think, a little bit to that where, you know, you can go through and like whatever the playability of something is can sometimes like crack the door open in such a huge way. Like we got Addison all sorts of things, but like one of the things that like me and her have done a couple times together here recently is build like little like Lego kits together.
Yeah.
So for Christmas, I got her like one of these like 3-in-1 like unicorn seahorse or like duck rainbow kids Lego kit.
Yeah.
You know? And, like it was probably the like least expensive thing that I got her, but maybe the thing that she is like most enamored with.
Right.
Because like we get to go and sit and play for like a whole hour.
Right.
You know, just building it or whatever. So we've gone through and we've done the unicorn and we're currently building the duck.
But, oh, there you,
know,
you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's just the seahorse. I'm sorry. Hmm. We're building the seahorse. But yeah, it's funny how like you can never predict it because we also got her like a bicycle, you know, yeah. Santa brought her a bicycle.
Of course.
And that's like, you know, you can't, I never would have guessed that the small, like, you know, I also got you this like little thing. So there was another thing to open. We've gotten more hours out of so far.
Right.
Than the big thing.
Right.
Than yes. The bicycle.
Exactly. It's so crazy what kids will latch onto or what will end up being the thing. And it's like, you know, Me and Beth are like, you know, we love board games. And so, you know, like we grew up playing lots of like the classic ones you're familiar with. And then like, thankfully in our adulthood, it seems like the board game hobby sphere has just exploded with like all sorts of, you know, what feel like more creative, more in-depth, more like more fun, imaginative kinds of games.
It definitely seems like board games have stepped into like an arena where it's like a medium, like all on its own.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, you have like a video game genre and like video games have like upped the ante as well. And they like, some of them are like cinematic and have like,
yes,
you know, really bona fide storylines and stuff like that. And it's like, people were like, yeah, we could do the same thing with board games.
Yeah. That there, it feels like it's entered into like that kind of space. So, man, where was I going with this? So to go to like, for like Dude Perfect though, like it's, you know, it feels more like a regular board game. You roll the dice and move around the board or whatever, but it's like, I would have thought that like, oh, because me and Beth are into these kind of games, that'll like those style of games will be the kind of things that like our family is like, you know, plays a lot of.
Sure.
Or whatever. But it's like, you like, I wonder at some point if like they'll look back and be like, oh, we used to play the Dude Perfect board game all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, if it's like, it's becoming like a family kind of game. Well, all of a sudden
that's like another thing that's like kind of strange too about like the speed and like I don't want to say like full-blown independence, because I'm sure when you get to something like Dude Perfect it has a lot more infrastructure like holding it together than just the hosts themselves or whatever.
Yeah.
But like there it's almost like what Dude Perfect might be doing in creating a board game that like young kids will play, because Dude Perfect's been around longer than your kids have been alive.
Yeah.
For one. Mm-hmm. But like that is when you start to make the entity that is Dude Perfect slightly larger than life, because now like they are planting seeds that kids these eight, like your sons,
yeah,
will eventually grow up and look back on nostalgically.
Right.
And at that point in time, it's like Dude Perfect can be like a brand that doesn't even include the guys that we know.
Right. It could be.
You know, Dude Perfect could just be like Disney.
Right.
You know, maybe that's a reach, but like
I don't know. I mean it that Disney's big, but like I think they are trying to open like a park or something.
Right, you right. Know. Yeah, like it's so interesting to imagine that we're witnessing like the humble beginnings.
Right.
You know, like only really we only know it as like the really fun to watch viral YouTube videos.
Yeah, like the trick shot guys or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But in the same way that like when Disney was like first animating like Mickey Mouse, it was like, this is so fun. This is so interesting.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, feature length film? No way.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, they're pretty big. They're pretty big these days, for yeah. sure. You know, we're on the Dude Perfect app and whatever. And it's like, but even when I like the more I play the game, the more I like appreciate like how like you can tell certain designs were really considered whilst making it to make it like kid friendly specifically.
Okay.
Like you, like there's not zero reading in the game, but like you don't really need to read that much.
Okay.
You know, it's like match. It's a lot of like match three cards kind of thing.
Sure.
Or like steal a thing or spin the wheel. But like, even if you can't read it, you know that this card makes someone spin the wheel because it has a picture of the wheel on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's clever. That's clever.
Right. And like Nick and Nate can like, they're like starting to learn reading and stuff like that. But regardless, they have memorized every square on the board.
That's
just
awesome.
Based on appearance. They know this one's high roll. This one's spin the wheel. This one's collect all of these cards, you know?
I gotcha.
They don't need to like read to comprehend the entire game, I think is like really good design.
That's really good design. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
That's very smart. Well, cool.
Yeah. So there you go. Dude Perfect board game.
Should we play sometime?
Maybe we should. Yeah.
Who do you think would win?
Well, obviously me.
Yeah. Even in a luck-based game, I suspect it would still be you somehow. Hmm.
We got this other game that is like, it's like a weird take on Connect 4. Where it is a Connect 5 kind of game.
Okay.
Okay, but it's like 4-player.
Got it.
And each player has like a stack of like 15 tiles. And when you, each player, you go around in a circle and you have to like each place a tile and it's the first one to get 5 in a row wins, right? That's it.
Okay.
But the board is just expanding based on where you put it.
Okay.
They just have to be touching like side by side, no matter what. So it is that we started playing with the boys, and it sounds so simple, but we started getting into it and you can tell immediately that the game is so much more savage than it like appears on paper.
Really?
Yes. Like, you know, you're going through and you're like, okay, so, you know, Luke is, you know, let's say Luke's green. Luke's got 4 in a row right here. And it's my turn, then Beth's turn, then Luke's turn. It's like, I can block Luke right now, of course. It's my turn. I can stop him from winning the game if I block him. But I certainly don't have to. I can force Beth to do it by just playing my piece wherever I want. And then she has to use her turn to block Luke, you know?
Okay.
Because if she doesn't, the game's over. And she can't win.
Right.
And that becomes the game. That is the game more than the getting 5 in a row. The game is passing the buck a lot.
So like, who has to be the bad guy?
Right. It's just like, you know what? It's all of ours problem if that person wins, because then we all lose.
Right.
However, I'm going to specifically make it your problem.
You know what I mean?
I don't have to be the one to solve it. I could further my own means and you'll have to solve it for us.
It feels like whoever invented this was literally playing a trick on adults to people who have kids.
Yes.
You know, because it's dooming one of you to have to make that choice.
Yes. Yes. Or occasionally you can do like some other fun. I mean, you can get, it gets, you know, the more like it can get way more devious than that, where you can just be like, okay, well, eventually once you've used all your tiles, you just start moving your own tiles on the board to other spots on the board. And in that way, you can be like, oh, remember how I was blocking this person? Well, now I'm not. And someone else is going to have to deal with that, you know?
Nice.
Right. So there's a lot of, it ended up being like a huge mind game in that way. And I managed to set up at one point a situation wherein I had 3 different win conditions in a row, where it was just like, unless all 3 of you like worked, use all 3 of your turns to block me, I'll win.
Uh-huh.
Like, and what was funny to me is that Beth is trying to explain to Luke that you need to play here and then I need to play here or whatever, you know, and he's going that, and she's like trying to explain it to him, and he's like, it doesn't matter where I play because we have to go here, here, and here, you know, and I could tell that like she doesn't realize that he's already figured out all 3 of them are going to have to do it, and she only thinks 2 of them are going to have to do it, and I was like, well, he's figured this out a lot faster.
That's like, impressive.
I know.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, that was really impressive too, but I don't know what the name of that game is. But it is weirdly strategic and very, like, a very interesting strategy game to play.
Are you having any experience at all? Because, like, growing up, you were the oldest. I feel like you were also, like, aside from being the oldest and therefore, like, usually 2 educational years ahead of me, at least, and then even more ahead of Tyler. Like, Are you gaining any perspective at all into what it would have been like to be me or Tyler playing games growing up? Or have you like relived any of those like moments of your life?
Me, like, meaning what? Like
when you were a kid, probably just as much of you wanted to win, because that's, I mean, for one, it's the objective of the game,
right?
You know, so like anybody participating in a board game wants to win,
right?
I think, you know, there could be people who were just there for the simple act of participating.
So they say, but they still seem to be pretty upset when you're winning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But so that's the thing, is that like, are you like, I don't know how savage you were as a kid in terms of like wanting to just like beat us at all costs. But like, could you see any world where like, if Luke is like leaps and bounds ahead of like Nick and Nate in terms of like comprehending the strategy of the game, where it's almost like they don't really stand a chance?
Oh, I see what you mean. I don't know if I've observed a ton of that yet, per se. Like with the Dude Perfect game, I wouldn't say any one person wins more than the other person.
Okay.
It is a pretty even distribution on wins. I mean, you could, there's some like very light max minning you could do, but there's a lot of randomness involved as well.
Okay.
So, like I don't, that one's been pretty even, which is good. It's not like, oh man, Luke won again or whatever.
Okay.
Or Daddy's won every single time, you know.
Sure.
Or whatever like that. But then like if we play like Uno or something, or that's another like family game we can play, or even like this tile game or whatever, which we only played twice because it ended up taking way longer than we thought and I won both times. So I didn't see any of that either. But even then it was just like, it was interesting to see, like, you know, I don't know like how strategic they were being, you know. But like, you know, maybe Nick would put all of his just in sort of like a big block area. Like he doesn't, maybe it's not necessarily have like a strategy to get to five, but it turns out that's a good strategy because in the end you can win in, you know, vertically, horizontally, or diagonally. And if you just have a big block, those opportunities will just keep presenting themselves over and over kind of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, there would be times where, you know, like me and Beth would have to help and be like, all right, so wait, Luke, you have to make sure you block Nick right now, because otherwise he will win. You know, and so Nick's like staring at the spot. He's like, he knows he's going to win if Luke doesn't do it. But of course, like, you know, we're all working together to make sure that no one besides ourselves wins, you know, just like it's a really weird mentality in the game.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially for you and Beth, who are probably seeing, you know, like from like the aerial view, looking down, seeing much more of like the potential outcomes,
right?
You know, as they're being built.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's like there's that. And there's a certain amount of like, how much do you want to like, you know, let them win or help them or not be like taken advantage of or whatever and stuff like that, but like also still challenge them and just all that stuff you're like working on at the same time.
That's the thing that I think is like, it's so hard to, I guess I'm wondering how hard it is to track. Like, it, like what would happen if there's like a kid, even if it's like not always you or Beth or Luke or Nick or Nate winning the game, what if it is like consistently, what if somebody starts losing most often?
I see.
Like, so it's sort of like, yes, four of us win pretty consistently, one of us loses pretty often.
I see. Yeah, yeah. That would be trickier. They probably wouldn't, yeah, because then they're probably having not as much fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. exactly. That was the part I was trying to get.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, four games, they're so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've played a lot of board games, which is like a family so far. It's pretty good. Beth's brother and his wife gave us a box of like homemade Minute to Win It games, I guess.
Okay.
You know, like with instructions for like how to do different like Minute to Win It games. And we did that one night with everybody, which, you know, they liked because a lot of them had like food or whatever. It's like, you know, can you move the Oreo down from your forehead to your face without, to your mouth without touching it, kind of stuff like
those
that.
Those are fun. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that. Or this worked out really nice, is that there was a bunch of like get the cotton ball into, like doing like the cotton ball challenge, you know, where you're blindfolded and trying to scoop cotton balls into a bowl and
that one's
you can't
funny.
Feel them.
Right.
Yeah. Or, but the cotton balls ended up being really good because they've been watching so many Dude Perfect things that they make, and they make really good like trick shot things because you can buy a huge bag of them for like tons of shots.
Yeah.
And, They would stand at the top of the stairs and they put a cup at the bottom of the stairs and they were throwing cotton balls down, trying to land it in there for like, I mean, probably an hour. And like every now and then you would know that they made it because there would just be the loudest cheer of just like, oh yeah, oh my God. Like, you know, just the visceral reaction of finally making a trick shot that, you know, we've experienced before.
Oh yes, we have. I mean, that was like when I first discovered Dude Perfect in the first place, I remember just being like, that is the best name, because when you finally make it, you're like, Dude Perfect!
Exactly. Like, it is the exact name. Yes, yeah, it is like, the battle cry.
They nailed it. They nailed it. That's so fun. Well, hey, did you get anything for Christmas?
I mean, I got a few things for Christmas.
Yeah, anything you're particularly thrilled about? Well, anything that's like life-changing?
Well, there's this jacket that I'm wearing, which I'm pretty happy with.
It's pretty gorgeous.
On my fashion here. I'd say the biggest thing for sure is this watch I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Which is a new like Garmin smart watch. I think it's a 245, I think is the model of it or whatever. But I would say it was, I've had plenty of watches in the past. I had an Apple Watch for a while, which I never really loved.
Never really got into it. Let me ask you a question. Where did you get your Apple Watch?
From Beth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you also at one point in time have a Fossil watch?
I think so. A watch is a Beth gift.
Okay. I was walking you down a line where I was like, when you told me that Beth got you a watch, I was like, I am fairly certain that Beth has gifted you no fewer than like five different watches.
Yes. Framed pictures, and watches and audiobooks are all really classic Beth gifts.
Okay.
For sure.
Love it.
No doubt. Yes. Watches are one of the things she has landed on to give me a few times. I had a Nike Fuel Band once upon a time.
I remember the Fuel Band.
I don't know if that was from Beth or not.
That may have been from Mom and Dad.
Might have been from Mom and Dad. Our cousin Lenny had one at Christmas, and I was like, man, that thing was so cool. And that was like, you know, back in the Fitbit war days before everyone decided Fitbit was the wrist tracker or whatever.
Either one.
And I think it was very short-lived. But I will say, it did work. When I was wearing it, I really liked it.
That's not the point. Yes, you have a new Garmin watch.
Got the new Garmin watch. Yes, and I would say there's been two big changes, maybe even three. Three big changes. I feel like just wearing it has immediately made on my life.
Okay.
Number one. Well, I just really like it overall.
Good.
I mean, for one, so I used to have the Aura ring. That was another thing that Beth got me, which is like a fitness tracker sort of thing.
Yep.
Which is basically like a fitness tracker, but you wear it as a ring and it just does all the monitoring from there. What I did not like about that was that you had to like pay to get all of like the stats from it and stuff.
Yeah.
Which was frustrating. And then I didn't feel like the stats I got from it were that good.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of people like the Aura ring because it does the sleep score, but I never felt like the sleep score ended up being like that helpful for whatever reason, because it would be like, you didn't get a good night of sleep, or you got a good night of sleep, and I'd be like, I know that. I slept it.
Yeah. I remember when I first got my Fitbit, I got it specifically because it had the sleep tracking technology, and I was so excited about seeing what happened while I slept.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was getting bad sleep, and I was like having like a lot of like nightmares and stuff like that. And I was like, I can't wait to see what the data tells me. Cause like, what if it like reassures me of this like accuracy or whatever, but you're right. There was that issue of like, I've done like, you know, 15 nights this month that are like under a 70 out of 100 nights sleep. I don't know what to do about that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was the hard part.
I think, yeah, it is. That said, this watch does the sleep score.
Okay. Okay. Can you sleep in it? Because mine does a sleep score, but I hate sleeping in it because it bothers me.
Yeah. It has not been a problem so far to sleep in. And I will say, for some reason, even though like I didn't like the sleep score before, on this one, it feels more helpful. I don't know why.
Okay.
It gives me like a little bit more insight about it, I guess. You know, it'll be like, you had long, deep sleep. Sleep like this is critical for boosting your immune system and repairing your body. That's what it says to me right now about last night. Hooray.
So you can't get sick today.
So I can't get sick today. I guess that's good. I feel like what it helped me like rationalize was that like that I got, I had like a 64 last night or something. And it'd be like, you know, I feel really tired today. And it's like, yes, you have literal data that explains that.
Yeah.
Now, as opposed to just like, I don't know. I don't really have an excuse for being tired, you know.
Right.
You know, even though I went to, because like, you know, I pretty much go to bed roughly the same time every night and wake up at roughly the same time every day. So it's like, no, but actually last night's sleep was worse for whatever reason.
Right.
So
right.
Now there's maybe more of a reason to it. So I like the sleep score on it. That's pretty cool. Let me head back to my watch face here. I like that I can get my steps on my watch as opposed to doing it on my phone.
Yep, that is
nice. Which is very nice, which is cool. It's still a problem for the walkathons where I walk at my desk and my wrist doesn't move.
That is the problem.
Yes. Yep.
I have to take my watch off and put it in my pocket.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to put it on my pocket to like strap it to my ankle or something like that whenever we do that. But for a regular everyday use, not a problem. The other thing I like is that this one is completely waterproof, which okay. is super cool because you can swim in it. She got this one specifically because it's like a triathlon watch,
okay,
which is cool. But what I like of that is that when you turn on swim, like you can track a swimming workout while you're wearing it. So when you get in the pool, you just hit like swim and it'll say like, how big is the pool? You can be like 25 meters and then just start. And then it'll track, like it knows when you got to the end and turned around and came back. So it can track your distance as you go.
Love it.
Yes. And I cannot tell you how much the ability of the watch to track your distance is a game changer. Because I went and like over the break, I went to the Y. I was like swimming. I was trying to swim for like a mile. And like I had the watch tracking it. And I could just like with the watch tracking the distance, I could let my mind wander in like a way that like I have not been able to do in like, you know, in so long, you know, because typically when I'm swimming, mostly what I'm thinking about it, like a lot of what consumes my thoughts is like, don't lose track of how many laps you've done or whatever.
Right.
You know, like I have to constantly bear the mental weight of not losing track of how far I've gone.
You know, it reminds me exactly of when I was like 14, you were 16 or something, we became like soccer referees.
Yeah.
And when you play the game of soccer and the ball gets kicked out of bounds, you are fully 100% wired as to whose fault it was and which direction the flag should be pointing
right.
for the throw in.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, on some level, you're always going to point your way because the idea is like, ball went out of bounds. I want the throw in.
Right.
So there's that piece of it. But I remember like, you know, it no matter what, like the injustice of like the line ref getting this wrong was like, how did you get it wrong?
Right.
They clearly kicked the ball out of bounds.
Right.
Like, and you gave them the throw in. Like that's madness. But like, I would literally stand there. And by the time we started doing this, all the kids were wearing either white or green jerseys. And I remember it was like, in my head, I would say, white is right. White is right. Green is left. White is right. Green is left.
Yes.
White is right. Green is left. And like, it's like the time I don't know why I could not get my brain to just watch the game in the same way that like, even if I was watching like World Cup soccer or Premier League soccer or anything, I would have no issues knowing which direction the flag is supposed to go.
Same thing. Like if I'm watching like basketball, or soccer or something, and the ball goes out of bounds, I will throw my hand up. Like it's that way.
Yes, exactly.
It's that ball.
Right.
It's our ball. Clearly, obviously.
It's always our ball.
Our ball. Yeah. That
I always play right. Yeah.
Exactly. I've tried to explain that to Beth before. It's like, well, when you're playing, it's always your ball. You always point your way.
Right.
Like because. For the very reason that sometimes it's a bit of a 50-50. And if you throwing your hand up, like gives the ref an indication or like tells the ref that it's your ball, they might do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not wholly subliminal, but like, right. because it's happening right in front of your face, but a little bit. But
right.
So what I remember hating the most about reffing soccer was all I would do is like, white is right.
Yeah, white is right, green is left.
Green is left. And then what would kill me would be then every other quarter, it goes the other way.
Yeah, it would switch at halftime.
But white is right rhymes. So then when it's white is left, green is right, it's like, no, that can't be it. That can't right. be it. And it drove me nuts.
Yes. And then it'd be like, you know, sometimes it'd be, you know, you'd think it'd be obvious, like typically, you know, white's moving this way. So if, you know, like if they're passing it backwards or something and it comes out of bounds in that way, it's like, wait, white has the ball. They're going that way. They kicked it out of bounds. It's wait, which, you know.
Right. Like, yeah. Exactly.
The ball's not always moving in the direction of the team.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all I can say is that I can understand what you're talking about. Cause if you're like, I'm on 16. Like, you know, lap, whatever in the pool. I don't know if you swim 15 laps, but I can imagine where you like, you're keeping this like mental mental ledger.
Yes, yes. You kind of keep the mental ledger, and then you get to one end, and maybe you thought about something else in the middle of the lap, and you're like, wait, was that 15 or 14? I better err on the side of 14. Maybe, you know.
Right.
Worst case scenario, do one more or something.
Yeah.
You know, but like knowing I didn't have to like think about that. It was like my mind could be completely free while I was swimming.
That's cool.
And that was like a wild sensation. Just like get to, even then it felt like just get to the end and turn around. It wasn't like get to the end, think about it and turn around or something.
One less thing.
You know, it was seriously one less thing. It made the entire experience like brand new, which was, I wouldn't even thought it was like possible to be that different.
That's cool.
Just by something else keeping track of it.
Yeah.
But that was phenomenally nice. And so huge asset to my swims, I would say.
Okay.
Which is really good. But then the other thing that has really changed is that when you're setting it up, because it's like a fitness watch or whatever, it wants your vitals, you know.
Okay.
So like your height and your weight and stuff.
Yep.
And typically I just don't weigh myself.
Okay.
In general.
Yep.
Because I often find that the number, there's no good number, you know, there's not like a, I don't really like
there's not like a number you want it to be.
Right. There's not a number I want it to be. So all numbers are bad news.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned,
okay.
You know, like in that regard, but as I'm setting up my new watch and it's like my Christmas gift from my wife, like I'm going to wear it. And I'm like, I guess I want it to be able to provide me with like accurate information and stuff. So I guess I better go weigh myself here. So for the first time in, I think, years, I stepped on the scale.
Dang.
I know. I stepped on the scale. And I will say that I think I stepped on the scale probably the very worst day of the year you can step on the scale, which I think is December 27th.
Okay.
You know, that is not just 2 days after Christmas. It is 30 days after Thanksgiving, where you have just indulged for a whole month.
You have. You
know? Yeah.
Lots of holiday festive cookies, baking.
Right. Yes. I think December 27th is probably the worst day of the entire year to weigh yourself. But that was the day I was setting up my watch.
Oh boy.
So I stepped on the scale. And sure enough, as you might expect, it was not a number that I liked.
Okay.
At all. I was like, I mean, I was embarrassed by the number. I was like, I was like, this is not okay. This isn't a shit. I'm like, I can't believe I've let myself get to this place.
Yeah.
You know, which is like, and it's like on some end, I had been feeling, even though like I feel like I work out quite a bit, I've been feeling like, you know, maybe the waistband getting a little bit tighter here and there.
Okay.
Stuff like that. But I was like, this is unacceptable, Jonathan. How have you let it happen?
You went whole eight letter name there.
I know.
Jonathan.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I wasn't even,
you meant business.
Yes.
You're like, sat down and you're like, all right, sport, we got to talk.
Right. That was basically what it was. It was like, we're doing something about this. This is unacceptable.
Okay.
We're getting back down. We're going down to acceptable levels here and we're going to be serious about it. You know, New Year's is officially December 27th, as far as I'm concerned.
Nice.
You know, so in that regard, it felt like it was the fact that I just put the watch on made me step on the scale. And that was immediately motivating in a very big way.
Okay.
So you know, like I wrote it down and I've, you know, been doing like the MyFitnessPal and whatever stuff. So I've got like a little Excel sheet and then that also. And the good news is that, like I said, December 27th, terrible day to step on the scale.
Sure.
Because even by December 28th, 3 pounds were gone.
Okay. You know?
Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's a bad day to do it because you're at max, like, bleh. So even that day it was already there. So it was like, you know, there was a big fluctuation just from day to day.
Right.
But since then I've just been like very, like trying to eat very clean and make sure I'm getting like, you know, workouts and I don't know. It's like cleared up a certain amount of, like, it's one of those things where it's like you're afraid of the data, but then having the data is actually better because then you could do something about it, kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's true. It's true. And a lot of times I think that like your brain will take the unknown and like do so much worse.
Yeah.
On its own.
Yes.
Like your imagination will go to like the worst possible scenarios or something. And so it's like, you know what? Just take the data.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that has been, I feel like, very good.
Good.
For me. And I have been pleased with results so far.
Good.
Yes.
Hey, look at you go.
There you go. Yay. Hooray. Fitness watches. Who knew?
Who knew?
Yay.
Apparently some people, because the industry has come quite a distance.
Yeah. Yeah. They've come. They're pretty good. They're pretty solid. So anyway, I like that it tracks. And you can, yeah, I mean, I like, and there's a bazillion watch faces on it that you can download and put on there. I like the one that it just came with personally, but I've organized it so that it gives me my current heart rate, my steps per day, and the weather. So,
hey,
yeah, plus the time, obviously.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah. But it's also nice having a watch that tells time, you know, because so often if you see me wearing a watch, I'm not using it to tell time at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that was the thing, like, you know, we had one of the first sponsors that we had for Super Carlin Brothers was a watch brand called, we always called it Vincero. I believe it's supposed to be pronounced Vincero, but like it was like one of those things where we worked with them and called it Vincero for so long that like it was like they never corrected us. They kept coming back. We, you know, and part of the deal was like, you know, every time we would work with them, they would send us like
a new watch.
And I think the big thing at that point in my life was that like I liked the aesthetic. I was like, they look awesome. And realistically, I use my phone to take the time anyway. So I would, yeah, I was the same way. I had like a whole like drawer, you know, with these like Vincero watches that like I really liked, and yeah. I loved how they looked and everything, but I was not using them functionally as a watch at all.
Nope, just a fashion accessory.
Exactly.
Yep.
There's just a cool looking thing to wear on my body.
Exactly. That is what all of my Vincero watches have become. I don't think any of them, I think all of them need their batteries changed.
Probably.
Yep. Yeah. But I still wear them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they look really cool.
They still look cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So there's that. So great little thing there. But yeah, welcome to the world of digital watches, I guess.
The fitness watches. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. It's very nice.
Although I'm not sure that I'm actually using my fitness watch for anything other than steps.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I'm actually.
What is on your fitness watch face right now?
I have the day of the week. So Monday the 5th.
Yep. I got that.
I have a heart rate. I have.
What's your heart rate?
78 at the moment.
No, I'm on 69.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, let me see if I can.
What does it say your resting heart rate is?
Oh, I have to open the app for that.
Oh, you got to open the app.
I don't have resting heart rate sitting on my app. Hang on. I will let you know though.
Okay.
Oh, Bluetooth is off. Hold on. I can fix that.
Mm-mm. I can tell you that mine is 52.
50, that seems quite healthy.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's a good heart rate right there.
Okay, yeah, my resting heart rate is 59.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Then I also have mine lists how much longer my battery charge has, which is 24 days, and the sun will go down at 5:16 today.
Oh, there you go. Mine lists the battery percentage twice, so I should probably get rid of one of them. Because I don't probably need to know twice that there is 51% charge on the battery.
Yeah, probably not. You could probably have like a whole new feature in
there. I know. I could get something else on there.
Wait, sunset.
Woo!
5:16, by the way, in case you're wondering.
I was wondering. Yeah. 5:16 sunset is such terrible news.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible sunset time.
No, it is. It is. It's like, because we walk out of the office at 5, which basically means by the time we get home,
sunset. Yeah, that's it.
I don't like that.
Unacceptable.
Yeah,
unacceptable.
I was gonna say, I think I live two lives.
Yeah,
there's like winter Ben and
two lives.
What is that?
That was a K-pop.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah, there's like winter Ben, summer Ben. Because like summer Ben will start mowing the lawn at 8 p.m. Winter Ben by 8 is 100% on the couch in pajamas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, two lives, two seasons, you know?
Right, that's me.
There you go. Don't need that.
Warm Ben, cold Ben.
Yes. Although I will be driving, the thing about my drive home today, Ben, is that I'll be driving in a little bit more style.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, because over the break, another thing that happened to me is I was actually on my way to go see Avatar Fire and Ash with our dad and our brother Tyler.
Yep.
And I got like halfway down the hill next to my house, and all of a sudden I got a little warning on my dash that said one of my tires was at 0% PSI, and I was like, that seems low. That feels...
Zero is not what we want.
I don't think that's good. If anything, I think that's straight up flat. Which it was.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Well, that was the thing, is that like, I'm surprised I even got to the hill without noticing it, or maybe it actually happened as I turned out or something.
Could be.
But I started noticing, I was like, what is that like rumbly sound? Am I like, and then it said like 0 PSI. And I was like, okay, all right.
It's all coming together.
Exactly. So I, you know, had to go turn in and come back up and park my car and take the van or whatever. then I had to spend one of my days off, you know, changing my tire. And it wasn't a whole day affair by any means.
Sure.
Yeah. But I had to get the, you know, I was up at like 6 a.m. and, you know, of course, Luke was up and I was like, okay. And he's like, what are you watching? And I'm like, we're going to learn how to change a tire.
Hey!
Hope it's fun. And I watched a great 10-minute video of a guy changing a tire on my exact car. And it was super helpful. And that made it really easy, except that I don't let my driveway's not level ground. So in order to do the tire change, I had to clean or to like clear out my whole garage so I could pull it in to level ground, which made it was a whole extra project.
Oh no.
To do this other project.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got that on there, got my spare tire out, put the donut on or whatever. But I guess you're only supposed to drive your spare tire around like very minimally.
Yeah.
You know, as little as possible. And I thought, well, no big deal.
I'm sure there are people out there who have tested the limits of those things, but
yes,
yeah.
But I'm positive that I probably could have, you know, driven around on like this for like a month or something.
Right.
You know, MBD. But if you look it up, it's like, they're like 50 to 60 miles, pretty much just to the tire place.
Okay.
You know, is what they tell you. And I was like, well, I went to the tire place the day I changed the tire to go get new tires, obviously. And they're like, they had this whole cool system where they're like, you know, we have tire places all over the place. We can, you know, you can set what are your preferences in your tires, whether you want them to be comfortable or silent or more like ready for weather or more for fuel efficiency. And then we can know whether you're a highway driver or a city driver, and it'll take this literal Roanoke area into account, and it'll recommend your tires based on that. And I was like, well, that's so cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Discount tire.
Yes.
I know the one.
Yes. You went in there.
I have not been in there, but, okay. But I know it. I've seen it. They have like a very jumbly text looking logo.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's in the old Ragazzi's.
Yeah.
I like it better this way.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I feel like Ragazzi's reminds me of food poisoning. But anyway, continue.
Yeah. Not surprising it didn't work out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went to Discount Tire, got my, you know, custom chosen Yokohama tires or whatever.
Good for you.
As it were. But they weren't going to be, they had to be shipped in, I guess, because I didn't have them in stock.
Naturally.
So now I was like, well, that's no big deal. They're like 3 to 5 business days. I'm like, okay, cool. Which, of course, I'm there on like Friday afternoon. So 3 to 5 business days actually means like 5 to 7 days from when I am.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because I'm sure New Year's Day was somewhere in that mix as a holiday too.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, great. So now I'm like, well, no big deal because I'm kind of off for a few more of those days. That'll get that. But now we got to drive to work every day. And I'm like, I really don't want to be driving. I can't really take the van because then Beth can't take the kids anywhere.
Sure.
And I don't want to drive my car because apparently you're not supposed to. And it would be just the worst if I blew the spare tire as well.
That would be a bummer.
But fortunately, and so I called Dad. And I was like, can I drive your other car this week? And he was like, totally. I'd love for you to drive. It's just been sitting there for 8 weeks. And I'm like, it's probably, yeah, okay, cool. But Dad's other car is like a BMW. So he drove that over last night. And I was like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Did any part of you be like, all right.
Yeah. And he was like, I would love it if you drive it around because I haven't been driving it and it probably needs to get driven during the winter. And I was like, well, it would be my honor, you know? Don't mind if I do.
I'll slum it.
I'll slum it. No big deal.
We'll drive the Bimmer.
I know. And he's like, all right, so the other thing, just so you know, like, you know how it works, you can put it in drive. But then if you like slot it over, like just move the shift over, you can put it in sport mode and it's like a whole different car. And I'm like, I feel like I've heard Dad say stuff like that about cars in the past. And I've been like, okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like different. You're not so sure about sport mode.
Yeah. I'm like, I bet sport mode's like a little bit different, you know?
Yeah.
It's maybe more in your head, maybe kind of thing.
Right. Right. It's a mentality.
Not a mentality. Way different. So much faster.
That's awesome.
The car, which is to say, the car is already so much faster than my car to begin with, because by the nature of being a sports car at all and not a SUV.
SUV designed to seat 8 people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But man, I put it in sport mode this morning and I was like, whoo, boy, this is fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was, I'll be enjoying that for the rest of the week until my tires come in.
I'm looking forward. I feel like this would be funny if you were like, yeah, technically I got like the new tire like 6 weeks ago.
They're really on back order.
Yeah, sure. This is tough stuff, you know. I'm just gonna have to keep driving the Beamer.
Yeah, it's gonna have to keep doing it. It's gonna have to keep doing that. My bad.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was another thing that happened to me over break. I blew a tire.
Way to go.
But when I got to the tire place, the guy there opened it up and he looks at my tire and I'm like, yeah, I've kind of had the tire since I got the car, and he like opens it up and he just goes, whoo. You know, I was like, yeah, they're old. Yep. Yep. This was just the first one. The rest are probably, they're very much close.
So you're getting a whole new set.
I got a whole new set.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be glorious.
It will be.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm kind of excited about that too.
I know, dude. New tire day.
I know.
It's a great time. I mean, you know, you're an adult when you're excited about new tires.
Yes. I know. I know.
Yeah.
Now I got, maybe if I get new wheel day too, that'd be even more exciting.
Listen, Jay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're interested in such things,
yeah.
You know, I feel like we could go dig into that. I mean, I'd clear my schedule.
I mean, I can show you the ones I want.
But I would be delighted for you to show me the ones you want.
Well, maybe I will.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is a deal. All right, guys. Well, I think this is a good place to close out.
I think so.
We went a little extra long, but that's okay. Because, you know, it's the beginning of the year. We're coming in with bright new spirits.
We sure are.
Fresh, bright-eyed, bushy tails.
You know, we had our 12-piece chicken tenders. We're being healthy from now on. And
yeah, everything's great.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Pop. Until next time.
Pop, pop!
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishawn Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.